You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore.
I'd like to help you catch it, so really would, but the feeling in my head, it's too much and it's no good. I'm standing in a window, so I'm shouting through the roar, and I'd like to give you information, asking for a quick blood bait noise. It's ringing in my ear, blood bait noise. And I can't really hear you in the thickening of fear.
Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Welcome to hour number three, and you are indeed listening to the Common Sense Show, and this segment is brought to you by Numana.com, and Numana offers the very best in survival food. Great deals, great prices, great packaging, easy to grab and go. In fact, I want to highlight one thing that they have on special right now, and that's a six-pack of hormone-free USDA non-fat milk. And they have, and say, why would you want milk? Do you have kids? Do you have kids? And it's not matter, folks, when the economy collapses. It won't matter if, it's a matter of when. And we know it's coming. The Baltic Dry Index continues to plummet. That's the measure of how goods are not moving around the world right now. And what we have here is we're going to see massive food price increases in our near future because things are going to be shipped much longer. Price of oil is too low to support this. And we're going to see food shortages. And so if you are not food independent, and we recommend here at the Common Sense Show, everybody have 2 years, I recommend that you get on board with us. And really, I like to start people out with this six-pack of hormone-free USDA and hormone-free milk. And also what you get with it are you get chicken, you get meat, you get family packs that are neatly divided. You have 40 full servings here. And it's so convenient. It's so compact. I would invite you to go up there after the show and look at this. Get your pencil out. Numana.com, Numanna.com/Hodges. Again, that's Numana, Numanna.com/Hodges. Make your first purchase towards food independence. Also, we're brought to you this segment by Steve Quayle's company, Renaissance Precious Metals. And again, we keep talking about it, economy collapsing. Yeah, don't have your money caught in the dollar. You need to diversify. In fact, actually, you need to more than diversify. You need to really move your money into precious metals because historically, that's the only thing that holds its value. How can you do that? Give Steve a call tomorrow morning and have a discussion with him about how you make this happen. Gold right now is flat in pricing. This is really the time to buy, but it's not going to stay there. 406-586-4842. Again, the number to call Steve Quayle is 406-586-4842. Well, we're officially in our health segment. Our thanks to Roger Landry and Josh McCoy for a great 2 hours. And this is going to be no less rewarding. And so to do the honors, I'm just going to turn this over to who we lovingly and affectionately call the health chick. And Katie, I forgot, we had one more piece of business I need to take care of here. And that's some of you don't like to do electronic donations, and I can understand that. I mean, I'm right there with you that sometimes we need to be careful about who we give our credit card numbers to. I don't think there's much of a risk, but when people want to donate to Katie's GoFundMe, she needs money to raise for treatment for her breast cancer. If you want to just send a check, that's certainly allowable, and send it to Katie Whelan, W-H-E-L-A-N, Katie Whelan, in care of me, Dave Hodges, P.O. Box 32, Whitman, W-I-T-T-M-A-N-N, Arizona, 85361. Again, that address, Katie Whelan, care of Dave Hodges, P.O. Box 32, Whitman, Arizona, 85361, and I'll make sure Katie gets it. Katie, you do get that money, don't you?
Oh, yes, I do. And thank you, Dave, for doing that. And thank you to everyone. I'm a little slow in getting my thank yous out, but they are coming, ladies and gentlemen. And the prayers and the support is amazing, and it is helping. So thank you all.
Okay, very good. Katie, what's up? What's going on in the health report?
We have a great show. I'm very excited about this one because we've covered so many aspects of health, but and something I wasn't even aware of. What about the idea of a holistic dentist? You know, I knew the mouth was important in terms of overall health. And I thought, well, you know, getting a cavity filled here and getting a bad tooth pulled there, and that's it. But what I realized, I found Biodentist sort of by accident. I was looking to have a root canal removed, and maybe because of the dreaded G word, Google, and how they search the internet for, you know, your search results. And all of a sudden, Biodentist popped up. And this is how I found Dr. Corbin Pop, who is on the other line. And we're going to find out all about biodentistry and what it is. But first of all, I want to introduce Dr. Corbin Pop, who grew up in Waverly, Nebraska, and he hung out at his father's dental office, so that's how he got the itch for it. But he graduated with honors in biochemistry from the University of Nebraska. Following college, Corbin accepted the prestigious Fulbright scholarship to Germany for a year of study. Very impressive. Rather than pursue interest in medicine after college, Corbin was fortunate to pursue a childhood passion, leaping out of the sciences and into professional dance career. Sounds like me, Dr. Corbin. I was an actress, so we kind of went the same path. But it says Corbin even landed on the Great White Way, performing lead roles in Broadway stage and across the globe. He ended up coming back into the sciences and completed a doctorate in dental medicine, graduating at the top of the class in Arizona School of Dentistry, Dave, right up your neighborhood, and oral health. And he a resident of the year of the graduate practice. He's got just an amazing bio here, and he's very much into holistic care while taking into account each patient's, which is holistic, each patient's philosophy regarding their dental care. So when you can't find him in the office, he is out with his lovely wife and three kids, mountain biking, snow skiing, all kinds of things. Great guy. Welcome to the show, Dr. Corbin Pop.
Why, thank you for having me.
This is great. I want to jump right in because I want to introduce the audience to you and what you do and give them the idea of the, I guess what I'm asking is, what's the principle behind biodentistry and how does it differ from conventional dentistry in any aspect you can think of?
Sure, I can give you everything I've got, and I would say I'm somewhat new to biodentistry in the last couple years. I came on to Biodentist, where you and I met, about a year and a half ago. It was founded by a Dr. John Augsburger. Now, he's a disciple or a student of Hal Huggins, who was kind of a guru in biological dentistry, and he worked out of Colorado Springs. He's recently moved to Denver, and he founded a whole building that they call Thrive Integrative Health, and it has a large biological dentistry department as part of it. And really what he's trying to do, and I'm part of this, is to bring together all integrative medicine and to really look at the body as a whole. When you talk about holistic, I think, you know, most people would agree that sort of refers to looking at the body as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's very important, and it is different than typical dentistry, which is just bread and butter, insurance-driven, treat a tooth at a time, get a tooth mm-hmm. pulled. So if I was to define biological dentistry, I would say it's comprehensive care.
Comprehensive
in a nutshell,
care.
That's what it is, as simple as that. But it really does take into consideration topics like toxicology, immunology and microbiology of each individual patient.
Mm-hmm.
Those are kind of the main topics, I think, that really encompass biological dentistry. And if I was to say what it is, I would agree with what the International Academy of Oral Medicine and Toxicology states it as, an attitude. It's mm-hmm. an attitude to treat people in the safest, in the safest, least toxic way to accomplish, you know, their dental needs without damaging the patient in the least amount of way to damage the biological terrain, they call it.
Right. And what I want to do is I'm going to give my own experience so I can give people a word picture of the differences. So many, many years ago, I had some amalgam fillings taken out. I think I had 9 or 10 of them. I knew that they were not good because every time you chew, I mean, pretty much 24/7, you're leaking mercury gases and things into your system. So I did have them removed. I did know a little bit back then about how to do it, so I asked my conventional dentist to use a dam to collect the parts and use the keep the suction going. But that is not biodentistry. You have a much more biodentistry, the concept of it, has a much broader understanding of what you're dealing with, the toxins you're dealing with, how to keep the toxins away from the person who's trying to remove them, etc. Explain a little bit about that.
Absolutely. Mercury removal is a big part of a biological dentistry. And I think of all of dentistry that's moving that direction is less use of silver mercury metal fillings.
Mm-hmm.
Europe doesn't allow them, and they take the stance of an environmental issue, which is, and we're concerned about, you know, we should be concerned about taking out metal mercury fillings and safely taking them out. For my staff, I'm concerned for the patient. So you mentioned a rubber dam. Of course, that's important. It's a way to kind of separate the mouth from the outside, and we try to clamp the tooth and make a layer of rubber that prevents the patient from swallowing, from inhaling vapor, all of which are very toxic. So taking out the amalgams could be a very toxic event for each patient. Suction is, you're right, suction on top of the dam, suction underneath the dam, giving supplemental oxygen, so you're pretty much only breathing, hopefully, a high oxygen saturated room air still mixture.
Mm-hmm.
And then also we give an IV of vitamin C, which you've had information before on
right.
the uses of high dose vitamin C. It's
right.
great for detoxing and protecting the body from any perhaps vapor or elemental mercury that would be either swallowed or potentially inhaled. So trying to protect the body and give it the best chance to detox is important, as well as testing for mercury. There is tri-testing the hair and the blood and the urine to see how well you're methylating and sulfonating and eliminating any toxins that you take in, whether it's from the environment, say fish, or your metal mercuries that would leach, or taking them out in an unsafe manner. So there's a lot of aspects that go into taking out mercury safely.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that a good biological dentist is going to have some knowledge about that, and yeah, we'll take the precautions to protect you.
Well, and that's why I was really impressed I'm obviously impressed with the whole holistic notion, and I love it. But when you go into dentistry, you talk to my dentist talks to me. I love my dentist. There are certain protocols that they have learned, as in all modern medicine. But when the biodentist steps outside of that circle and does preventative consultation, tries to find out what's going on, especially with my situation, and then aftercare, and do you test the blood after a mercury removal? See, that's the kind of thing I'm thinking about. You're looking at before, during, and after. Is that correct?
Yeah, that would be ideal, because that's kind of your scientific method. And I think that all of holistic, I know it can step away from science at times and become a little more ideological, but science is important. I think studying it in that manner is wise, so that we can learn from it, because we always need to be vigilant to new treatments and never saying something as this is it, this is fact. We always need to be able to adjust and make things better as we learn, because, you know, this is a practice.
Right. But there's also...
Yes, I think testing before and after. Now, that's an issue, because it can be expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Not terribly, but when you start testing multiple things and multiple times, and that brings on the whole idea of biological dentistry may, in fact, be mostly non-insurance driven. And that may play a big role in it, because what does insurance cover? If somebody comes to me and they're really concerned about what their insurance covers, That throws up a flag that we need to just talk about them and their treatment and what can be possible and what's the best method of doing it, not so much of what's it cost and what's an insurance pay, because that's a different priority, I think, than holistic care, if you
and what's best for my personal health. I mean, I obviously came in with some objectives and some conditions to consider, and it was all considered, and that's the nice thing. And I wanted to get into the whole root canal. I did a show or a little bit of a show on root canals many months ago, and there's always a little controversy about root canals, and I had one removed along with another dead tooth, but it had to do with what you called, and I love this because I've seen this, I've read this, that root canals, in essence, are little bacteria factories. And I think I think it was you that explained it to me. Even though it's been in there 10, 20 years, it's a dead tooth, it's not, you don't feel anything, it's kind of like an LA freeway at 5 o'clock, filled with bacteria just streaming out of that area and into the body. Did I get that right?
Yeah, no, I think that's great, and you're right. It's been a controversial thing, and over the last century, you know, root canals at one time were illegal, and then that kind of dropped off, and now they're still very common. I kind of look at them like ticking time bombs. They may not go off, but yes, a tooth, if you think about it, is a porous structure like coral, sort of. It's porous. And if a tooth dies and has an infection, the idea of a root canal is to clean out the pulp tissue and quote, sterilize. You can't sterilize it, but you try to disinfect it, mostly with bleach. And then you fill it with rubber, and if the body can take care of the rest of the infection, you might be all right. And in many cases, people are. But let's say if over time, that's a warm, dark, moist place in your body that could harbor bacteria that is, bad.
Right.
Anaerobic bacteria that does leach out toxins. So you've got this little factory that can be producing toxins that get into circulation, that get into your mouth. And that's the idea with a root canal, is how effective are root canals when they clean them out, or try to disinfect them. How disinfecting do they stay over time, or do they stay disinfected? Mm-hmm. And then can you use other modalities to try and keep that toxic release down, say with ozone? That's kind of a new thing on the scene, fairly new, I'd say, but it's been around a while. When we take out teeth, often people come in and root canals are, I would say it's safe to say they are more prone to infection, and I think that's agreed upon, not just in the holistic community. When people go in to have a new hip or a new joint replacement, they are usually sent to the dentist for a screening for periodontal disease, and that's kind of the same idea, is you're looking for bugs in the mouth that could potentially attack a prosthetic joint. So
exactly. That's
the idea of a focal infection theory that we're talking about when we're talking about periodontal disease affecting the systemic body and potentially root canals affecting the systemic body. I've seen them many times become reinfected, root canals, and people do have the option to retreat them, and they have the option to take them out. And in many cases, in our community, people are looking at these closer, and they're concerned that there could be some bad bacteria that's just been sort of accumulating at the inside these root canals, because that root canal is a dead tooth.
Right. Well, I had my bacteria. You tested my bacteria.
You did. And so what you can do is, after you take out a tooth, if you question, should this tooth have come out? Because in many cases, people nowadays, they look at these root canals that have been in, and they may not even be symptomatic. They may not show up much on a radiograph. We look for those things, and we look for symptoms, and symptoms and signs, they sort of lead us into a diagnosis to take out teeth. Well, if you test any root canal, I would highly recommend it, and I'd say the majority of them would come back with bacteria levels that would surprise you.
They surprise me.
Anaerobic bacteria that you don't want to have in there.
I was looking at that, and I looked up each bacteria, and it just flipped me out, thinking...
It does.
And I had no symptoms, but what I had heard, and I'm not saying this is from Biodentist at all. This is me speaking from my research. One of the reasons, one of the many reasons I had it taken out was because I had been reading about how that bacteria can travel through the system and over decades can weaken heart tissue, liver tissue, can even cause breast cancer. So as one avenue for me of removing a toxic load on my immune system, I thought, what the heck, I have to have it out anyway. So that's why I did it. But what I found so fascinating, and I want to cover this, we only have a few minutes left, the difference between when you pull a tooth in biodentistry and you pull a tooth in regular dentistry, I will tell you right up front, you can explain what you do, there's about 4 minutes, but I want to tell the audience, when I walked out of there after having two back molars taken out, I had virtually no blood, no swelling, absolutely no bruising, and probably a 3 or 4% pain ratio. They gave me a prescription, I was offered a prescription for Percodan or something from my surgery. I never had to use one. That is how beautiful this procedure, which he's going to explain, is.
Yeah, it's not terribly new on the scene, but I think it's being used much more. It takes a bit more time, but we take blood. First, we give you an IV of vitamin C with the extraction, 50 grams, and I think that's great to stimulate the immune system. Sometimes we will do an antibiotic, but that would be IV, so we do not disturb the GI tract. Those are some things that we do with our extractions, but there's a big idea in biological dentistry is that when an extraction site is performed, to really clean out any of the connective tissue, the ligament tissue, because there is more and more evidence that when an extraction site heals, sometimes it doesn't heal completely, and there's even little pockets of dead bone that can harbor bacteria as well. Now that's a little bit new, and I think that there's more research needed there, but we really clean out the socket. And we take blood, we spin it down, and we make what we call leukocyte and platelet-rich fibrin. Okay, it's called LPRF.
Is that like a stem cell?
It has growth factors in it.
Can I interrupt you just for 1 second?
Yep.
Is that what you would call a stem cell?
It does have some stem cell qualities. It's a little bit different than a stem cell graft. But that's interesting stuff, I'd say, for aspirations. I would like to look more into stem cell grafting as well. But it does have growth factors that we're looking for to stimulate both osteogenesis and angiogenesis and to build the bone and the tissue. And this kind of grafting is just you. So it's very biocompatible, which we're always looking to improve upon. It doesn't require other grafting. Now, you were a great patient, and you did very well. I can't say that everybody does that well, but I have seen great results when that graft is performed.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you do need additional grafting if there's great amounts of bone loss, and those are all things that we can and will do. But it is really nice to be able to atraumatically take out a tooth. That means spending a lot of time cleaning it out and grafting with blood products. It's a great thing, and I think people respond really well. And a big portion of that is trying to reduce, in your condition, you're trying to reduce any kind of toxic load, potentially your root canals, potentially your metal mercury fillings, to really lower that stress and challenge so that your body can handle other issues within its immune system.
Exactly.
So we see this a lot, and we see it often in the hospital when you're thinking about cancer patients going in for chemotherapy, for instance. They really need to have their mouths thoroughly looked at to reduce any periodontal disease. Often root canals are taken out in the hospital prior to treatment, and so that's across the board. I think it goes back to, we know root canals are prone to infection. Mm. And that, so just to reiterate that, and that's not for everybody. Some people may have a root canal that could be that ticking time bomb that may never go off. Maybe their right. immune system is certainly stronger than others.
Right.
So the individualized treatment is very key, I think, in biological dentistry.
It's well, and key. We're run-
not
we gotta,
one toxin is the same for everybody.
We've got just a few minutes, and I wanted to leave enough time for you to plug your wonderful place of biodentistry. And but I wanted to say one thing real quick. I kind of painted a word a picture in my head of what exactly was happening in my tooth, and I thought, what by putting my own material in there, my own leukocytes and everything, it really relieves the inflammation crowd and the infection crowd. You know, all the troops come in and they're like, oh, hold off, you know, it's one of us, relax, everybody go home. So I had, that's why I had such a, I think I had such a nice recovery, because it was my own material. But anyway, give us your information, a number, or if people across the globe or the country, if there's biodentistry, if you know of a way they can pursue this, but mostly for the Denver area, plug your business, if you would.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I always recommend everybody, I'm going to start with the world. I think there's a couple of great organizations. They're all international academies. The International Academy of Oral Medicine and Toxicology, the IAOMT, they're a great source, and they have a great mission, and I read it often. There's also the International Academy of Biological Dentistry and Medicine. They are also great, too. But for local, in Denver, we are, Biodentist is the name. Our number is 303-333-9000. We're in Glendale, right at about Holly and Leedsdale. There's a large building there. It's a great building. It has integrative service, so we like to use all modalities. There's a yoga studio upstairs in the summer. This is coming soon. An edible garden that goes around the whole building. We use all of that for, you know, our lunches and breakfast. We have a chef that cooks for us, and sometimes we even have patients that will eat with us, because we do long treatment. Mm-hmm. Some people really want the comprehensive care, and that's what we hope to offer. We spend a lot of time with our patients.
Yes, you do, and
I'm a lot of questions.
I'm coming in for lunch. You can guarantee that, Dr. Pop.
Wonderful.
A nice big salad. Dave, do you have any questions for Dr. Pop?
Well, I think I'm going to have to visit, too. You're making me homesick. I grew up in the Denver area, and so I'm going to have to come in with Katie and partake of your garden.
Well, I think you should. We'll wait till we're up running fully, and we'll have some food. We can go pick it in the garden and cook.
Gosh, this is so
great. Yeah, we're
going to,
my son and I are going to, we're taking a probably about a seven-day golf vacation in late June, so we will be up there in prime growing season. So we're looking forward to it, and go Broncos! And thanks so much for joining us, Doctor.
Thank you, Dave. Appreciate
thank
it.
You, Dr. Pop. Appreciate
thank,
that. That was
thank
great.
Thank you, Katie.
Wow.
I know. That's it. We're done,
yeah,
and we go.
He didn't even scare me. I was just thinking, well, that bacteria goes to your heart. You know, you're going to die of a heart attack, which I know is true. I know that that's true.
You know what I wanted to say, Dave? While you're picking from the garden, he's gonna, you know, pull a tooth. So careful. No, but I didn't want to embarrass him and say that. So,
well, I thought you were gonna say something like, well, you know, Dave, there's a problem with this garden. There won't be any microwave popcorn growing in it.
Oh my gosh! Okay, moving right along. I don't even get me going on the Orville Redenbachers. So, but
no. Well, I gotta. Do something here, because I want people to be prepared before we jump into our last segment, because we're going to get into some tough stuff. We're going to revisit a little bit about what Josh and I talked about with regard to the election, and Katie and I are going to talk about the fundamentals of protesting, and it's something that I've got a fair amount of experience in, unfortunately. First, I just want to make sure that everyone knows that we've thrown our support behind Numana Foods, N-U-M-A-N-N-A, and it's numana.com/Hodges. And I've looked over their product line, and I've actually done some work with them before in the past. Daniel Brigman, who's been a guest on this show a couple of times, he's a constitutional scholar. He's a God-fearing man. He's honest, and he's really concerned about what's coming, and he's trying to help people get ready, as are we. As are we, folks. We are really concerned that so many people are unprepared. FEMA has a report out there, Katie, where they're saying the average American does not have 3 days of survival supplies. And so we're trying to get you jump-started. Mm-hmm. Food and water are the first place to start. I always recommend Bob Griswold's Berkey Water Filters at readymaderesources.com. And for your food needs, go to pneumana.com/Hodges. Look over the product line. I featured 3 product lines on that website today. They're stuff that if I was starting out storing food, this is where I would begin. I would absolutely begin right here. So pneumana.com/Hodges. And again, thanks to my friend Steve Quayle for sponsoring our program. And you can talk to him tomorrow about converting your cash, your soon-to-be worthless cash, into precious metals by calling Steve at 406-586-4842. Well, Katie, there's so much on the table right now.
I know. Where to begin?
Doug Hagman contacted me during the show.
Oh.
So I was able to multitask, and I'm going on his show tomorrow. I just don't know what time. And the topic of what he wants to discuss is how they're tweaking the Patriot Act in Congress to make it a crime for someone like me to voice one word of support for someone like Ammon Bundy. And they will say that I'm supplying material support to terrorists. I'm subject to arrest under these proposed changes under the NDAA, which means that I don't get a lawyer. No one knows where I'm at. I could be dead. I could be alive. I could never be seen again. I'll be declared to be a supporter of domestic terrorism. And technically, they're not calling members of the media domestic terrorists. But what's the difference if they've locked you away? The net effect is still the same. Katie, I know this is probably something that, well, we haven't talked about this, but let me just say this, folks. I did write about this back in October 17th, 2015. I wrote about how John Carlin, not to be confused with the late comedian George Carlin, who I actually like to listen to, but John Carlin, the assistant AG, you know, the assistant to Loretta Lynch mob, you know, I'll throw you in jail for talking against Muslim extremists, that Loretta Lynch mob, he came out and said, domestic terrorism is worse than Muslim extremism, and we're going to start taking action against people, and they're making good on that threat. Katie?
Well, as I believe it was when Josh was on, I actually pulled up the First Amendment, and I have 2 things to say. They want to undo the Constitution. They want to step on it. The more they violate it, just blatantly violate it, then in the minds, it's part of the propaganda, in the minds of the people, they just, well, I guess it doesn't exist anymore. No. This is our opportunity to go public as big and broad and loud as we can. Yeah, if Dave and I disappear, if the Hagmans disappear, people, we need you to stand up and say, where the heck are they? What are you doing? The bigger the voice, the more people know, the more they panic, and when they panic, they screw up. So I was just reading the First Amendment, and by golly, you know what? If somebody says, what Constitution? I'm going to say this Constitution. You may not be under it, but I'm still under it. So Congress shall make no laws respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or of the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for redress of grievance. I'm standing on that, Dave. I have to stand on it. It's not just a law by our founders. It is my God-given right to express myself. If someone is abusing me, using me, hurting me, damaging me, I have that right. And whatever, however long I have to speak it, I will speak it. And I'm putting out a call to the people listening to this show who are getting a paycheck, an evil paycheck, and you all know who you are. Really? Really? Is this where you want your children, your sisters, your wives, your husbands? Is this the world you want them to live in? Because let me tell you something. It will come back to bite you eventually.
Yeah, but not until a lot of us are placed in harm's way. I know there's some divine intervention involved. I know God protects
Absolutely.
The special members of his flock and the
Absolutely.
People that he's chosen. But, I mean, we have no idea if we're those members. I mean, it would be presumptuous and arrogant to believe that. So we should all take this as a direct threat upon our lives. It's kind of interesting, Katie. If we were to come on this show and say, we think that someone should bring harm to President Obama and be serious about that statement, then the Secret Service would be showing up within the hour. And we're not advocating for that. We advocate for nonviolent change on this show. But on the other hand, they can advocate, you know, locking us in a deep, dark dungeon. They can murder us without repercussion. And no one's knocking on their door to take them away when they violate our rights.
Well, in the end, I think there already is divine intervention and divine protection. I mean, the scripture says that God will mark his people, and they are not to be touched. And you know what? As the days roll out, God's plan is God's plan. We don't know who he's taking home and who he's not taking home and why. And it doesn't matter. But I do believe people have fear, do not have fear. Fear is what they feed on. Have bold humility, courage, but be humble servants of the Lord and let him do the, was it in Jehoshaphat? This battle is not yours. So what did they do? They were called to sing and praise God, and the enemies ended up destroying themselves. So pray, turn to the Lord, be Daniel in the lion's den. You look up to him. That's all you look at. That's all you think about. You praise him. And Psalm 91 comes to mind. 1,000 will fall to your left and 10,000 at your right hand. But nothing will harm you. I just implore people to have no fear and stand up and just look to the Lord through all of this. And I'm done preaching.
No, but we need to hear this. And we need to remind each other of this, because it's easy to get caught up in the carnal, earthly ways of things and forget that we're actually spiritual beings having a physical experience instead of physical
yes.
beings having a spiritual experience. And let me pull this up here too, Katie, because this falls right in line with what is so ungodly and so unhealthy for our society. Let me scroll down here. There was an article that ran on Mike Adams' site, and it's just, you know, Mike Adams, a good friend of the show, and it talked about the New York Times wrote an editorial that said, I hope you're all sitting down, and if you're not sitting down, don't take a drink in the next 20 seconds of anything. Don't eat any food in the next 20 seconds, because if you do, you're going to spit it out all over yourself. The New York Times, in an editorial today, is calling for pedophiles to be respected and to have their civil rights honored.
Wow. Wow. Have we gone Sodom and Gomorrah?
I know. I feel like I live in Sodom and you live up there in Gomorrah.
Gomorrah, exactly.
Yeah.
That... And to think that our own congressmen and senators are now in the dark writing bills against the very people who put them in positions of power to put us away, who are simply speaking our minds. This is all of it.
Let's talk about this topic for just a second here. And I'm no stranger to this. And anytime someone in the media or in politics ventures down this road, they run the risk of extreme retribution. Just as a point to this, Nancy Schaefer, former state senator from Georgia, after the pedophilia lobby and CPS lobby, because she was contending that CPS gets kids, purposely loses them in the system. We've covered that on the show through Monica Wesolowski. That's where her son Dylan was headed under the Virginia CPS when we intervened. They engage in these practices. And so Nancy went out and she was a champion for the people. She spoke at conferences in Europe and she spoke here in America. She was a frequent guest on very high-powered talk shows like Alex Jones. And she committed suicide. And here's how she committed suicide. Her husband shot her in the head, and then he turned the gun on himself and shot himself in the back.
Oh, my goodness. They can just write up whatever they want, can't they?
It's just like Scalia. It's
yeah,
like Scalia's assassination.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where were the two federal marshals that are supposed to accompany him everywhere? Pillowcase on his face. They embalm him on the first day,
mm-hmm.
and there's no autopsy for a senior government-level official. So you're right. We live in a country where there are no rules. We're playing in a game with no rules. But let's go back to the pedophilia question for a second.
Mm-hmm.
I did a fair amount of research on this when I was helping Monica when she first came to us nearly 2 years ago. And what I found was there were some real prominent names involved in this business. And probably the most prominent was George Soros, the man that likes to bring down economies.
Mm-hmm.
There's a group called NAMBLA, the North American Man-Boy Love Association. And their favorite saying is, sex before eight or it's too late. And George Soros saw fit to give these people $2 million for self-promotion. Now, I can't remember in the darkest days of Rome where they advocated for legalizing pedophile behavior. But those arguments are appearing here, and the elite is funding some of these arguments.
Boy, how do you even begin to turn this back? This is such moral... Our society really is so morally corrupted that people either don't feel like they have any power to do anything about it, but I'm pretty sure there's outrage. That's the frustration. There's outrage. Or there's complete ambivalence because of the television. I mean, I talk to people every day who have no idea what's going on. Literally, no idea what's going on. But we have deteriorated. My goodness. Unbelievable.
I have to say, I do read the mainstream media, some, and I do watch some television because I need to know what the enemy's up to if I'm going to do my job.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just absolutely stunned and shocked that the New York Times could come out with this. In fact, they call here, they said, punishing adults for having consensual sex with pre- and post-pubescent minors who want to engage in the act should be respected in the civil rights, blah, blah. I can't even read the whole thing without puking. This is the New York Times.
You're the psychologist, and so you understand behavior, ages. When you take a small child, 7, 8, 9 years old, and you have corrupt, they're just coming into, just barely coming into their own sexuality, and you introduce them to these abuses. They don't see them as abuses because they're being taught this in school, that everything's acceptable. But they know, these pedophiles know, that if they can get these, even the sex traffickers know, if they can get them young enough, they can literally destroy their minds, their circuitry, and they're pretty much gone from that point. How much of that have you looked into and studied?
Well, I've looked into it a fair amount. I mean, it's no secret that kids who are abused before the age of eight, when they can still engage in fantasy-type thinking, you know, where those Disney movies are real and the animals really do talk and have human-like personalities, that sexual trauma, trauma of any type, but particularly sexual trauma, in a child before the age of eight can cause the appearance of dissociative symptoms where when the abuse is going on, the child's defense mechanism kicks in and they engage in the fantasy that it's really not happening to them, it's happening to someone else by a different name, and they disassociate from their primary being. Now, as they grow into adulthood, then this strategy has worked, and it can manifest itself in what we call dissociative identity disorder, or what the layman call multiple personality disorder. This is the number one cause. It's sexual abuse of young females before the age of eight that can manifest it. Now, and, you know, these people go, and I've read the stats on this, they can go 10, 15 years and have a diagnosis of schizophrenia, post-traumatic stress disorder, and then eventually someone will say, oh, I think you've got dissociative identity disorder, because see, when people have it, they don't just come out and announce, hey, I'm changing personalities now so I can avoid the painful thinking of my past. They just simply switch.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very, very hard to diagnose. And it's something that is so tragic, yet I have seen this, you know, from the mental health perspective. And if one could just fully appreciate how damaging this whole behavior is to abuse a child. I'm very, very unforgiving in this area. I've often said that when a pedophile violates a child, that pedophile should be given a choice, either to become totally and sexually unable to perform, mm-hmm. or they should spend the rest of their life in prison. And here's why I believe this. It's not an extreme view. It's based on the data. 98.6% of pedophiles reoffend within 2 years of being released. But it usually takes them, according to the FBI, somewhere between 7 to 8 years to be caught. In fact, before they're caught, according to FBI statistics, the average pedophile has abused over 30 kids over at least a 5-year period. This is so devastating to kids. I've seen the trauma, the absolute horrible Holocaust that it visits upon a child, and many of them never recover.
No.
Drug abuse and lewd and lascivious behaviors are just a couple of the outgrowths. They don't have to even become multiple personality disorder. So, Katie, it's a horrific thing.
Well, and they have to spend the rest of their lives undoing, if they have that opportunity, if they haven't gotten into all kinds of trouble or passed on by the time they're in their 20s, it destroys them because they have to spend the rest of their life struggling with these demons. So they're stealing these children's childhood. I know my childhood. I mean, it was riding bikes and having imagination and catching frogs and just being a kid. I cannot imagine having something so horrible as this and then struggling through that the rest of my life and trying to have a normal life. And they know this. If they can destroy a generation or two or three, and the more the merrier, then it's a multi-pronged front in destroying the morality of a culture.
Well, let's just compare a couple of things we've talked about here. On one hand, we're looking at a government that's attempting to change its own unconstitutional legislation. And mark my words, the Patriot Act was unconstitutional. Mm-hmm. But they want to come put people from the independent media in prison for daring to interview and even showing any support for people who disagree with the government. But on the other hand, this same government will allow pedophiles seemingly unrestricted access to children because they give them a slap on the wrist in a lot of cases, and they let them out of prison in very short sentences that are comparable to burglary, like breaking and entering, and they put our children at risk. This speaks to the moral decadence of our government. This speaks to the fact about why God, I think, has visited judgment upon this country.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I agree with that, and it does say in the end times that good will be looked upon as evil and evil will be looked upon as good. So for you and I nailing down these interviews so that we can give an opportunity for these people to speak, whether you agree with them or not, we were the facilitators, and so now they're going after the facilitators. I would say desperation is the name of the game.
I agree. When I was going through my mental health training in grad school, they will give you these tests when you're taking an ethics class, and they are designed to identify which populations that you should avoid because you have a bias. And I sailed through all of them except for one. And the one I did not sail through was working with child sex offenders.
Ah, no tolerance.
No tolerance at all. No, I'm very unforgiving. I would be very much in favor, and I'd celebrate and have a party If my state here in Arizona passed a law that said first offense, you don't get out of prison.
You know,
damn hands off our kids.
Yeah. I'd say from the guests that you've had on the show that have discussed all the different avenues of this topic, I would have to say that is probably the most demonic of all of them because of the children. And I don't mean to be flip at all about this, but they know that when they get small people, they can reshape them and destroy them. But this is so insidious. I do believe this is absolutely demonic, and maybe that's why you have such a visceral reaction, because it's probably the most powerful demon.
Well, as my dad used to say, the Hodges family line has good detectors, and we can smell BS from a mile away. And unfortunately,
yeah,
this is what our government is. And so I don't care what list you put me on. Mm-hmm. This government is morally deprived. It promotes every kind of perversion. It de-promotes and disincentivizes the humble qualities that made this country great, namely following the Ten Commandments. I'm so disgusted by this. Now, are there good men and women in government? Yeah, when I was fighting for my property, I was able to win over a good portion of the Arizona State Legislature, and they blocked the things that McCain wanted done to us to force us off our land. Great. So there are some good people out there, but good people are only good people when they stand by the strength of their moral convictions. Yes. And they're willing to speak up.
Yes, absolutely. This is the time. I believe we're coming very close to the time of the sheep and the goats, the wheat from the chaff, and people are going to have to be bold. They're going to have to be courageous and look at the consequences. And that's why I'm saying, trust God for your provision, because if you stand up in His name, He will take care of you. But we're also terrified of that. And we were, you know, Dave and I were talking this afternoon about the show and some topics. We always kind of let the Lord lead. But I do see it kind of coming back to our topic that we talked about this afternoon, and that was, what do we do about this? The protests. What do we do about protesting our government? If they're going to make it illegal, they can do whatever they can make breathing illegal. I'm still going to breathe. I have to breathe. I have to speak. What are some forms of empowerment and protest that people can do now, Dave? I mean,
the
any
one
idea?
Thing that doesn't work. Yeah, the one thing that doesn't work is for the people to become violent. The hippies of the 60s tried this. I mean, I think their cause was noble. We were fighting an illegal, inhumane war, and we shouldn't be disrupting young people's lives to go fight in old people's wars so they can make more money. I totally sympathize with those people in that period in history. But when you throw rocks at National Guard members and you take over college campuses and burn buildings and so forth, you know, you're going to get back what you throw out there. And the two people that really show us how to effectively protest are Gandhi and King. And both of them employed nonviolent methods. And if I were to sum up what they did, they basically offered passive resistance. For King, one of his favorite tactics was the sit-down strikes, where they would go into the whites-only diners and sit down and make the police drag them out. And they basically broke the system doing this over and over all across the country. No one got killed, except for King, and that's a whole different story that maybe we can cover another night. But these people were dedicated to an ideal that will stop when we get equality. And Gandhi's people did much of the same kind of approach. So nonviolent, be professional, communicate with the other side. There are people on the other side who will agree with you. I discovered this in my own protest, that you need to remain professional and reach out to the other side, because if you're in a position when you have to protest, you have less money, less power, fewer guns, and you risk being trampled. So you need allies, you need numbers, you need the sounds of marching feet. So you have to reach across the aisle, so to speak, and try to get people to join your cause. And you don't do it if you use pejorative terms and put people down. So you have to reach out to those who say, no, I'm not going along with this. This is why the comments you made earlier about the NSA, you know, the people who have these evil jobs, you're giving them an opportunity not to be evil. When you say something like that, Katie, you're presenting them with a choice. It's a very powerful technique. No one wants to go home to their kids and say, well, I spied on hundreds of thousands of Americans today and deprived them of their constitutional rights. Also, I can bring a paycheck home to you, my loving son. That's, you know, people are better than that. Mm-hmm. I believe in the goodness of most human beings. However, and this is going to lead me to do some work this week, I'm going to write about the psychology of brainwashing, because unfortunately, even though many of our people in our society are good people and they know right from wrong, they have been conditioned by the media on behalf of the government who serves the globalists, that we can't make a difference, we don't matter, you're just a small fry, and you are nothing. And so people give up before they even start. And I'm going to break apart those myths and expose that this week when I write for the Common Sense Show.
Awesome. That's going to be a great eye-opener, because I think our focus from this point forward is we know what all the problems are. I don't think we should ever stop pointing them out, but I really feel in my spirit people are crying out for, what do I do? What can I do? And the first thing that came to my mind was, exactly what Dave said, peaceful, but we need numbers. Really, our power isn't in the gun, it's not in this and that, although it is on an individual basis. Our power is in numbers. I just saw, pulled something up today, I can't remember what state house, I think it was Idaho. 1,000 people showed up on the steps. That's a lot. 1,000 people showed up on the steps for a Second Amendment rally at the Capitol building. Well, you know, we're kind of over the whole, let's show up in mass numbers here and there. But you know what? If those mass numbers start turning into 20,000 and 30,000 and 100,000 and showing up in D.C. for 1,000,000, people are going to, those in power, they're going to say, whoa, 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 wait a minute. The sheep are waking.
Yeah, they are. You're right. Along those lines, our survival depends on this. And in fact, actually, if you think about why are they trying to tweak the Patriot Act to basically shut us up in the independent media or face long prison sentences? I just read today Pete Santilli is facing 96 years for his role in Burns Oregon.
Oh, my gosh. You are, for
no,
being
not,
a journalist?
No. Yeah, well, that's they're saying he was a journalist participant, so I guess we interviewed him, and I mean, I guess we were just as guilty as he was in the eyes of the government. But really, the deal is here, Katie. What we absolutely have to do is we have to become missionaries for the movement, because if we wake up enough people, I really believe in Congress. A lot of Congress will throw their support together with the military. In fact, I know for a fact that Justice Scalia, the day before he was killed, was actually meeting with some key members of the military. And I can tell you right now that they were discussing the fact that Obama's climate change went down the tubes and to expect trouble, and that the military have to make a choice. I've detailed how the military stepped up in Benghazi and had a coup of opportunity that failed. The military will not step up right now and basically enforce the Constitution and hopefully get congressional support in doing so, which will make it perfectly legal. The reason they won't is they don't feel the American people would support such an action. And it's not that the American people wouldn't. The American people are ignorant about what's going on because they're too busy watching Wolf Blitzer on CNN. So those of you who are listening to my voice tonight, what you need to do is you need to reach out to neighbors and friends. And I know you're going to get slapped down a lot. You're going to get made fun of and called a conspiracy theorist, like two bad people will never get together to plan and do anything wrong. You're going to have to tolerate that. You're going to have to step up and become a missionary, because our only hope,
yes,
is to reach out to our military. Now, we're out of time, so let me say this very quickly. Thanks to our guests tonight, to Roger, and to your guest, Katie, and to, we're out of time, so let me say this very quickly. We will be back next week with Ted Brewer, and we will also have my good friend Bob Griswold on, and we're going to have a great show. And with that, Katie, we're out of time. We really squeezed the end out of this, didn't we? No more juice left in this tomato, so we will see you next week. Go out and have a great week. God bless you.
God bless.